No, time for our Friday interview. A parent's worst nightmare. It's nearly 4 years since anyone saw Yorkshire woman Claudia Lawrence. She was 25 when she disappeared from her home in 2009. The case remains open, but the police are treating Claudia's disappearance as suspected murder. But despite extensive searches, repeated TV appeals and long-running poster campaigns, no suspects have been arrested, no trace of her has been found. Why are we doing the story of Claudia Lawrence on a local radio show? Because I think we can all identify with losing someone that we love, them just disappearing off the face of the earth. And this is what happened to Peter. He came into the studio to speak to me alongside Claudia's best friend, Susie Cooper, and they've been telling me about life since Claudia vanished.
That day in March 2009, everything just suddenly changed.
Can you remember the run-up to that day? What had been happening in your life?
Just work as normal, and I spoke to Claudia on the Wednesday evening and arranged to meet on the Friday evening for a drink. And then all of a sudden, Friday morning, Susie called me, very worried that she hadn't been able to get hold of Claudia, getting no response to texts and things.
And why had you been worried, Susie?
Well, it wasn't like Claudia to not respond to her calls. I mean, maybe on an evening she might have fallen asleep, or, you know, I kind of said that may be the case. But the next morning I was expecting sort of apologetic text saying, oh, I'm really sorry I stood you up and rah-de-rah. But I was still getting the same sort of non-responsive text. There wasn't a text, it was just a non-reply basically, and I knew that Claudia's dad had the key to her house, so I gave him a call.
And did you know within a few hours that it was so out of character that you were concerned?
Absolutely. The next morning, the night before, no, I didn't think that, but the next morning, absolutely, without any doubt in my mind, I knew that there was something wrong.
What did you do next?
I jumped in the car, went across to York, and I thought, hang on, there might be something wrong here. So I actually went to the pub first, four doors down the road, and saw George, the landlord, and said, look, come with me to Claudia's, I'm just worried about this. So the two of us went, and I expected, quite honestly, to find Claudia lying there, either ill or even worse. But I went in, and there was nothing there. It was just totally normal. Her slippers were inside the door where she would have put her boots on to go out to work. The house was just totally normal. Dishes in the sink because she wouldn't have done them before she went out on an early shift. And it was just so strange.
It must have been terrible, Peter, walking around Claudia's house from one room to another, expecting to find her.
Yes, it was. And in a sense, not finding her made me wonder what on earth had happened. I knew nobody had heard from her. I knew because I'd rung her work at the university that she hadn't been in on the day before either, the Thursday. And it just wasn't right, so I rang the police. And amazingly, within 2 minutes, there were two police officers around at the house, which is not the reaction I expected.
And it's from that stage the nightmare began.
Yeah, for me. I mean, I felt the same. I kind of half expected that when Peter went into the house that Claudia would be like, you know, she'd fallen down the stairs, or she, you know, there was something wrong with her in the house. But from that day onwards, I'd say the Saturday after that, I called it Black Saturday, because that was the day that her face came on the news, and it was just like real at that point. It became really real, you know, that this was my friend, this was Peter's daughter that was on the news, and it was real that she was missing.
And then the media frenzy.
Yes. Started on the Saturday, really, as Susie said. And speaking to the editor of York Press later, he said, I had a toss-up between two stories for that day. And in the end, I took Claudia's and they ran it front page for a whole week. And from there, the media have been with us all the way for 4 years. Been very good.
Very good, and yet nothing.
Nothing at all. I'm convinced and have been for 4 years, and Ray Galloway, the detective superintendent who's just retired, was also convinced all the way through, and we both kept saying so, that somebody does know what happened to Claudia, and it's jolly well time they said so.
Do you think she's still alive, Peter?
I hope she's still alive. It's getting more difficult, obviously, after 4 years, but I've met families where people have been missing for that long and turned up, and you just keep your fingers crossed, don't you?
Peter, these questions are, I know, are horrible, but what does it feel like, not knowing?
It is the not knowing, Stephen, that is the worst thing. I suppose if something happens and someone dies, then you know they've died, and in a sense you eventually get over it. Not knowing what has happened is worse. It just leaves a hole down in your stomach. And
what does it do to you?
You feel it all the time.
I can see it. It's written all over your face, Peter, these years later.
Yeah. I mean, she was 35. She's now 39. We've missed 4 years of her life. And the whole family was so close. You know, regularly saw each other, talked to each other. I would see Claudia once, twice a week, speak to her a couple of other times a week. And not having that for 4 years is awful.
And you can't grieve because you're not entitled to grieve because she's not dead. You don't know that she's dead. So what do you do?
You worry.
I think that's the part that's difficult, though. It's like, I absolutely understand what Peter's saying. You know, you can't put it to rest. You can't, you know, I think socially we all sort of, you know, maybe subconsciously know that we're going to lose people in our lives. But this sort of loss is not something that we're prepared for at all. Because we can't deal with it. We can't deal with it because it's not resolved. You know, death is a resolved issue. You know, somebody dies, you resolve. It's resolved. This isn't resolved. This is out there. It's like somebody, as Peter said, somebody knows what's happened to her. Even if it's one person, even if it's just one person, that one person knows what's happened to our friend, our daughter, our sister. Somebody knows that.
Peter, with so much profile and so much publicity around Claudia's disappearance, there was then quite a lot of speculation. And there was one report of a witness seeing a tall man arguing with someone with Claudia's description at one stage. Did that go nowhere?
No, it didn't. That was the one on the edge of the university campus on that morning.
Yeah.
If it was 6:15, she would have been late, but I suppose she might have been late. You would have thought that if it had been somebody and it hadn't been anything to do with them and so much publicity, they would have come along and said, "Look, sorry, I was having a row with my partner. It's nothing to do with Claudia." But nobody has come forward.
So does that make you think that was linked to your daughter?
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. The fact that nobody has come forward and with so much publicity leans towards that, but I suppose people might not have seen it.
And Peter, as is often the case when, you know, this is something very, very personal to you, but to many journalists, it is another story. It's another headline. And there has been speculation about your daughter's love life,
yep,
which must be It must torment you having to read that.
It does. Luckily, it was really only one national newspaper that went down that line. And I always say 98% of the media have been with us on our Find Claudia campaign all the way through for 4 years. So, yes, it was awful. But on the whole, the media have been absolutely great. Between Susie and I, we probably know most, if not nearly all, of the people that Claudia knew and went out with. We're very close. Claudia told me about boyfriends. Claudia and Susie and Jen were regularly together, three girls chatting about what they did.
Claudia is just a normal person having normal relationships with people, and I don't think there's anything untoward about the way she conducted her life at all. She was treated like a Big Brother contestant who was out there for fame, and Claudia wasn't out there for fame. You know, she didn't go out there to sort of become famous.
Do you get many hoaxers?
No, luckily.
We've had a couple, haven't we?
Yeah.
On Facebook, I think there's been a couple.
There was and the one police, who, the police yeah, got a couple were, and the police prosecuted. Well, they prosecuted
yes,
one
they prosecuted
and he went
one.
To prison.
For doing what? What did he do?
He said he knew where Claudia was buried.
Well, he told, didn't he tell them he killed her and he buried her?
I'm not sure that he said he killed her anyway, but he said he knew where Claudia was buried.
Because it, and obviously if he he's knew, a hoaxer. Well,
sorry, if he knew, the implication is that perhaps he had something to do with it. But he was charged basically with wasting police time and he went to prison. And the judge quite rightly said, look at what this has done to Claudia's family.
Yeah.
And the other.
Horrible.
Yeah. The other one couldn't be prosecuted because of his mental capacity.
Isn't there a wreath that is laid
yes,
every
some,
year?
Yes, somebody has made a wreath. I don't think there was one this past Christmas, actually, but for three Christmases, someone made a very strange wreath with peculiar messages and signs and feathers, peacock feathers and all sorts of things. And, I mean, the police knew who he was, but there again, he couldn't be prosecuted.
It's down to psychics, yeah. People who believe that they know things, and you know, it. You know, some people just think that they know things in their way of thinking.
The trouble is, if that was right, all the psychics would say the same thing about what had happened and where
Claudia
is.
I absolutely agree.
And they've said so many different things.
And they don't know where she is.
No.
Or what's happened to her. So it's kind of like, you know.
Peter, you are campaigning, among other things, for the passing of what is called the Presumption of Death Bill. And this is to secure legal rights for families to be able to deal with the financial affairs and other issues in a missing
not,
person's
Steve.
Name.
No, it's not. There's two totally separate things here, both of which, yes, I am campaigning for, and both involve legislation. Firstly, there's the Presumption of Death Bill, which has now had its final reading and is just waiting royal assent. That will enable possibly 30 or 40 families a year to very simply and easily get a certificate of death if someone's been missing for 7 years or is believed to be dead. What I'm really campaigning for is to get the other legislation, whether you call it guardianship or attorneyship or whatever, which enables families like me to deal with people's financial and practical affairs until such time as you want to presume them dead.
Okay.
Government hasn't yet come forward with that, but we're pressing.
And what's the practical reality of that legislation not being enacted now? What does it make
it's just
difficult?
A nightmare. And government statistics themselves say this affects over 1,000 families a year. And that's cumulative because people remain missing for more than a year.
And what part of it is a nightmare, Peter?
You can't deal with mortgages. You can't deal with insurances, house, car. You can't deal with direct debits. You can't deal with any of the things that you and I just take for granted, and I did until about 6 weeks after Claudia disappeared.
And so what is happening with all of that in Claudia's life?
Well, the house is there. There's nothing we can do with it. the
because you're paying for it.
The bank wouldn't move money from a savings account to a current account to enable direct debits such as house insurance to be met, because they said, quite rightly, but unfortunately, because of the absence of legislation, you're not our customer. Data Protection Act says we can't talk to you, we can't take instructions from you. And I've met people through the Missing People charity who would have lost their house, a wife whose husband is missing, would have lost their house had it not been for her family clubbing together and gathering round her.
My goodness.
And she, her evidence was before Parliament for the Justice Select Committee.
So you're having to fund all of this?
It's something that you're stuck with, isn't it?
But that's what's wrong about it, isn't it? Is that, you know, in this sort of situation, there's people, I mean, you know, people can't afford to do that, really.
There was an investment Claudia had, I don't want to go into details, obviously, with the bank, and that matured a couple of years after she went missing. I wanted to be able to reinvest that at some sensible rate of interest for Claudia's benefit when she comes back. And the bank said, no, sorry, we can't do anything with it. It's lying there, not gaining any interest. So it's losing money.
Mm. And it's sad as well, because there's this 7-year sort of thing, but after 7 years, we'd have to claim Claudia to be dead, but we don't think that's the case. So what do you, you know, what do you do?
By then, investments have lost money, the house has deteriorated, which it is doing, obviously.
But even then, you know, you've got to say Claudia's dead, which you don't believe. So
we don't have to.
No, but you know what I mean, yeah. Sort of on a legal basis. So it's kind of like a no-win situation.
The book is called Gone, The Disappearance of Claudia Lawrence and Her Father's Desperate Search for the Truth by Neil Root. Um, 35% of the royalties of this book will go to the charity Missing People.
That's right. Peter. That's good.
And it has just struck me for the first time in my career. I've talked about Missing People cases often. I've never actually sat opposite someone who's lost a loved one. And I can see now the impact. It's different hearing it.
Yeah.
And it's very different seeing the impact.
The charity is relatively small, but it runs a 24-hour helpline to help both those who've gone missing who want to talk to somebody and the families of those who are missing. And so getting Neil to agree to donate 35% of the royalties from this book will do an awful lot of good for a lot of families.
You know, I'm left with a question tonight as I look into your eyes. Why would someone do this?
Why do we ever know why people commit crimes? Been lots of books written about that. I don't know.
Why would Neil give that money away? Was that your
question? Why would someone do this?
Why would someone do this to Claudia?
Okay, it's like there's two big questions there.
Have you been able to find any happiness at all?
No. I found the strength of having very good friends. I've found the strength of my faith, though it was obviously very sorely tested by Claudia's disappearance. But the community at York Minster, which I treat as my parish church and singing and praying and everything else, have just gathered round. They almost, not physically, but they figuratively put their arms round you, as have my close friends. Particularly Martin Hazel Martin, who's been the spokesman throughout this 4 years.
Is there any day where you can have peace? Any day?
No, I go out for walks, whether it's at York or whether I'm down in France or wherever I am, and I can look up at a blue sky and say, is Claudia seeing a blue sky? You know, and it doesn't go away. You just feel it every day and every time.
I hope you find her.
Thanks.
I really do.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a lovely, lovely man.